This week on the Commander Clash podcast, we're talking about today's huge ban list update and also some hybrid rules updates. So anyway, let's get into it. Welcome to the Commander Clash podcast, where the Commander Clash crew talks all things Commander. I'm Seth, probably better known as Saffron Olive, and I'm joined by the full crew here this week, Phil and Krim and Tomer, and we're going to be talking about a big announcement today. How's it going, guys? Are you excited for some new Commander news?
I don't know if you could call it big. Much, yeah. I said big announcement on my video, and people are like, oh, it's a mid-announcement. I'm like, okay, I thought it was big.
Yeah. All right, that's fair.
I think it's big.
I've been playing for 15 years, Commander. You know how many years it goes by that says no changes?
No change, yep. Yeah.
I'm used to like one change every 5 years. And I guess maybe like the newer players are like, there wasn't 15 things happening this year. Garbage.
I think that's the thing. This is a subtle big change, which sounds weird because those are like kind of oxymorons, but it is a subtle, very big change that you'll see, but we'll go over that.
So yes, I guess there was not a huge amount of changes in number. There's a handful, but there's some other interesting news in there. Some of the things that didn't change, I think, are also notable. There's some stuff that Wizards asked for feedback on for the future, which means we should probably get into it and start working through this list. But first, we got some sponsors today. Our show is brought to you by Foil Armor. Do you have problems with your foils curling? Well, Foil Armor is the ultimate solution for flattening your foils. It's a two-way humidity pack that you simply put inside an airtight container with your cards. And Foil Armor will absorb and release moisture, making your cards completely flat. Put it back in your storage box to keep your cards flat forever. And you can head over to FoilArmor.com and use the code MTGGoldfish to get 15% off. Our show is also brought to you by Card Conduit, the easiest way to sell your Magic cards. If you ever get tired of the hassles of buy listing, you can skip them with Card Conduit. Normally, if you use the code MTGGoldfish, you'll get 10% off your order. But on any new shipment created between now and February 14th, the discount's going to be doubled up to 20%. So if you want to sell some cards and get a fast payment without all the work, head over to cardconduit.com/mtggoldfish or use the code mtggoldfish to get 20% off. And now it's time for the comment of the week. So last week, we talked about cards that you might have forgot to put in your deck, and our top comment comes from at AWQS6WT says, this topic must be about basic lands.
I've lost that battle.
It's done. It's over.
I applaud the user, though. You know, keep fighting the good fight there.
All right, let's move on to this big update. So first off, let's start with the cards that ended up getting unbanned. So we had two cards today that were banned in Commander that are now unbanned in Commander. Card number one is Biorhythm. Biorhythm, if you don't know this card, it's an 8-mana green sorcery. It says each player's life total becomes the number of creatures that they control. So if you got 0 creatures, you just die. If you got 10 creatures, you go to 10. 20, you go to 20. The other unbanned card, caught me by surprise, Lutri the Spell Chaser. So this is the Izzet Elemental Otter Companion. It's a 3-mana 3/2. It has Companion, where each non-land card in your deck has to have a different name, which obviously any Commander deck is going to have by default because it's a singleton format. It has Flash. When it enters, if you cast it, you can copy up to one target instant or sorcery spell that you control, and you can choose new targets for it. So Lutri, it's being unbanned, but with a twist. It's unbanned, but it's still banned as a Companion. So essentially, you can play Lutri in the 99, but you can't just free roll it as your companion in any deck that has the colors, which is probably a good choice. So what do you think of these unbannings? Let's start with Biorhythm. What do we think about Biorhythm being unbanned?
Yeah, dude, this card is so sick, dude. Oh, my God. And is it because Kamal's portrait, his little peering eye? This is mostly just a lot of nostalgia for me. I love this card. And it's a sweet win con, right? This is like Commander for me. 8-mana, giant splashy spell, also unique, right? It's not like just Sway the Stars or something like that, right? Like that, sure, you can do cooler things than that. But this setting everyone's life total, especially on this cast and this group of players here, you, me, all of us, and our soul wardens, I'm sure Morgan will very happily be like, you know what, you can set your life to 1,000,000 with all these soul wardens, but if you only have 2 creatures, your life drops back down to 2. So I think this is just a big, splashy spell, and I love that.
Yeah, I mean, Biorhythm, it makes sense in the context of other cards that have been unbanned recently to me. Like, it seems like one of the ideas that the new committee seems to have, or Wizard seems to have, is that if a card's really expensive, it's like kind of okay, because we've seen Worldfire unbanned, we saw Coalition Victory unbanned. To me, Biorhythm looks like another card in those lines, right? If you get up to 8 mana and in the right board state, it can end the game potentially or kill some someone potentially. But you gotta have a lot of mana and you need the right board state to actually have it work. What do you think, Phil? Like, you make a lot of mana. Is this card gonna show up in field decks?
It's the funny thing about this. So Biorhythm is one of the most nostalgic cards to me because as a kid reading, this was one of the most unique text boxes. Back then, legends felt legendary, so seeing Kamal on a card was like, oh, that's one of the main guys here. And then I remember a friend playing it against me, and it's like, yeah, it's cool. I guess we all lose a bunch of life. And then imagine if I had no creatures, which didn't happen, but because it's green, it's not like you board wipe, and then this, it is so clunky. So next time I see this card is when I play Commander and check the ban list and see Biorhythm again. I don't know. It seems, well, I guess there's this creature from old Tarkir that does the same thing as an activated
Shaman
ability,
of the Forgotten Ways.
Way better, honestly, because it does something else if it doesn't do the super niche thing of killing somebody.
But it dies to removal.
Sitting.
This does
not. Yeah, sure, but you die to removal after you set your life total to whatever you do, unless you have infinite creatures, in which case,
but Phil,
just attack.
Sometimes that's the way it goes when you play Biorhythm. That's
cool.
The way it is.
That's the thing about it. It is super cool, but it is, I think it's a bad card. It's a
I think it's being downplayed a little bit here. You can't just win games out of nowhere. Like, if you are in a situation where I have creatures and you just don't have creatures, either because there was a board wipe and it wasn't your turn yet, or we just, like, removed your creatures, I could just cast Biorhythm and you die. Like, that's it.
Sure. You can also just cast
Mono Green Control.
And
it becomes more real every day. Just saying.
That's why I think I kind of understand why it was banned initially. It's just like it was banned like 15 years ago. And a lot of these finishers were not as good as before. Like,
it's also anticlimactic. I think that's what it is. Same with
Coalition Victory. Life.
If you die from it,
I Psych Rift on your end step, and then on my turn, I Biorhythm. GG.
Okay,
and
Psych Rift, gotta say.
Like, yeah. I get that. Okay, I just think, like, finishers have been power crept so much in the past, like, decade plus since this card got banned. That it's like, it can be a little bit anticlimactic. It can just win the game. But, like, I don't know. A lot of our finishers these days kind of feel like they're finishers, but then they're also card draw engines, but they're also, like, you know, they do a billion different things. So, like, just an 8-mana, just dedicated you win the game card that requires some setup seems okay to me. Also, full disclosure, I'm on the panel, so I knew about these bans and stuff, and I even voted.
Oh,
voted on
it's your
on these,
fault,
yeah.
Tomer. Tomer,
it's my
boo.
Fault.
Biorhythm.
I voted to unbanned this.
I think Biorhythm being unbanned is fine. Like, and we also, on top of what everyone else has said, we also just have a track record of these cards being unbanned and not being a problem. Like, Worldfire is a big scary card, and it's like 0.3% of decks. Like, people just don't really play it. Coalition Victory literally wins you the game on the spot if you do its thing.
So scary.
And it's like 0.145% of decks. So it's definitely not a staple either, even though you got playing five color. So we've just seen it be
Jason
fine.
Modern.
Jason Modern. Like, there's a pretty good track record. So
Modern died.
I'm not
modern itself.
It's funny, Victory was so, like, everybody was so scared about Coalition Victory, but, like, and I do agree, like, maybe 15 plus years ago was very scary, but, like, imagine, like, Jota the Unifier. Jota the Unifier doesn't need a Coalition Victory in the deck. He just casts spells in the deck, and then everything's a 15-15, and then you go to combat and you win the game. So Coalition Victory seems redundant at that point. So that's how it kind of feels with Biorhythm is like, yeah, I could, but I can also just run Craterhoof and I can have like 50 different tutors to put Craterhoof directly on the battlefield or cast Finale of Devastation and I win that way either. It doesn't matter.
But this has the rule of cool, and this is cooler.
It is cool.
It is cool.
It is cooler than all of those cards. I'm sorry. Biorhythm hits way right into my bloodstream. Worldfire, This, though, this
that's because you don't play creatures, Krim. You don't play creatures. I'm team
more
World
of a reason
Fire,
why
think,
it's a danger
honestly.
To me. I will die to this more than I want to, but I love it. Biorhythm is a sweet card.
I feel like this will be a card that people will try out in the short term, and people will throw in a lot of decks. So if you're going to play Commander in the next couple of months, I'd be keeping in mind, right, that there is a possibility someone's going to try to Biorhythm you, but I would be surprised if it was a, you know, 10% of decks, 5% of decks card on EDH Rec 6 months from now or a year from now. I think people will try it out and realize, oh, it's like kind of gimmicky and funny and like kind of cool to get people with a couple times, and then you'll go back to doing whatever you normally do. What about the second card that was unbanned? So this one cracks me up. They unbanned Lutrie, but it's still banned as a companion, which I actually think is what they should have done from the beginning. Lutrie was never a problem in the 99. The problem was always that it was just a free roll because of how it was worded. So I think that was the right choice. Although the one part that drives me a little bit crazy is they've argued for years, literally years, that we can't have banned as commander because it's way too complicated. And us Magic players, we can't have two ban lists in our brains or our heads will explode. And then they do Band is Companion. How can it be possible that Band is Commander is too complicated, but Band is Companion is not too complicated? That's the part that gets me on this one. But what do you guys think about, what do you think about the Lutrie unbanning?
Love it. It's a cool otter.
It's a
nobody
cool card.
Cares. No, otherwise, it would be very problematic as a companion, and then otherwise it is just a dual custom match. Is it a good card? Does it also go in? Oh, no, it's legendary, so you can't really do the broken stuff with it.
No, you can't even. Nope. It's also a cast trigger too. Yeah. You have to cast it in order
totally
to do the thing.
Fine.
So you don't do
cool.
like dual caster combos or anything like that. It's like dual caster, but bad or fair rather.
It is kind of a cool commander. It is maybe it has a cuteness factor to it.
Yes,
but just a dual caster is always fun. Does it copy opponents?
It does not. It's only
Man,
yours.
It sucks.
So it's like
fair.
A bad dual caster. It's bad
it was
in multiple
it was
ways.
It was balanced as a companion. I mean, as far as they tried to balance
companions. As far
companions,
as companions are, yeah.
Like they made an effort, I guess. I voted against unbanning it, actually.
Ooh.
I think the
what
card
was
is
your logic?
So fair. I think the card is so fine power-wise. But I actually agree with the previous RC. I don't like this, like, oh, we'll have a separate section for the ban list for banned as commander. I just, like, okay, it sounds like, oh, it's not too complicated and stuff. But then we're like, we're just adding extra layers and layers and layers to the ban list. And I just always think about, like, who the majority of commander players are. And these are people who are casual and not super invested like we are. Like, I can handle a banned as commander ban lists and like a billion different things on the ban list and stuff. But I just think about the people who are playing like once every 3 months or whatever. And that's like the vast majority of commander players. And I want to keep it as simple as possible. So I don't think it's worth adding a banned as companion thing just for this one random otter. Like, we already went to Bloom Brawl, y'all. We got more otters. It's fine. So I like you're dying for otters. So I thought it was fine to leave it banned. I don't like having an exception for this one card. And then it opens the floodgates for this, like, well, now we should do Band as Commander. Give me my, I don't know, Raphaelis in the 99. Give me my Leobold in the 99. Where's Golos? And it's just like, bro, no.
I think we need Cyclonic Rift banned with Overload. Let's do that. You can play it, but you're just not allowed to overload it. What do you guys think about the Otter, Krim? Do you think this card will see play?
I mean, yeah, I'm sure it'll see play. I'm happy that it can't be used as a companion. That's the main thing. But I also think that you could just ban companions entirely from Commander.
No,
I know this is going to sound wild. I don't even know if I like the idea of companions in Commander just in general. But,
okay, that's fair.
This being unbanned otherwise, I mean, when it initially got banned, I thought that was aggressive. Right. I think it should have just led with maybe banned as companion or whatever, but banned entirely right out the gates was aggressive. This is a card that they should have just monitored when it hit when it was printed and given it some time to breathe and see how the format even builds around it or does whatever with it. But now it's just an okay card. It's a cute otter. and now you can have him in your deck.
Yeah, what do you think, Phil?
I'm just shocked at how many, like, Lutrie fans there are, apparently. Because that was the justification. It was like, there's so many people who love it. I'm like, who? I've never heard of them. And, like, they do exist. They do exist. Like, they do. But I was like, where? Why have I not heard of this before?
I feel like They probably existed more like 5 years ago when Ikoria first released. I remember people talking about it a lot at the time and being like, "Oh, it's so cute! I love Lutri."
Well, there weren't as many otters.
I think people have just like moved on to other cards. That is also true. There weren't as many otters. There are lots of home for it. So, Phil, where do you play this card? Like, assuming you are going to play it in the 99. Is it an Otters deck card, a Spellslinger card, or do you think it's just so much worse than Dualcaster? It's like not worth playing?
Oh, it's actually a segue and a good different topic because it is. Let me just read the card to you because I kind of forgot what it did. It is 3 mana, 1 and 2 hybrid. Is it mana? It's a companion. If you follow the command or rules of each non-land card in your deck being a different name, and then it has flash 3/2 when it enters. If you cast it, copy target instance or sorcery you control. You may choose new targets. I guess I play it in the same decks as I would play Dualcaster if I don't need to combo with it, but copy just spells. Maybe big mana, something. Anything with Cascade when it enters, if you cast it. I don't really know how to break it. I guess if you cascade into it, you can copy the thing you cascaded with.
Oh, yeah. That's
really then great. Do you... Yes. So,
I think it's just...
I don't know.
Bad but cuter Dualcaster, basically.
It's just
like
fine.
Worse but cute.
Yeah, it's very fine,
it's a very fair...
You play an Otters because it's an Otter card.
There's no shortage of things that, if you're looking to copy something, there's no shortage of that, right? Yeah. You saw that in like, I remember maybe, I don't know if it aired yet by the time this drops, but we did a Commander Clash. I loaded a deck with a bunch of copying things. This would just be like the 101st copy spell, maybe. There's a lot of ways to copy. Yeah, the companion part, thankfully, is not there. That would then be a whole different story. So this card's just fine.
So Phil mentioned something that I think we're going to jump ahead. We'll come back around to Game Changers and some of these other cards, but Lutri's a hybrid card. And one of the things we were waiting for with this rules update was, like 3 months ago, something like that, Wizards asked if they should change the hybrid rule, and they wanted feedback from the community. We did a podcast on it. Everyone did videos about it. Everyone said on social media. It was surprisingly controversial to me. I expected it just to be like, oh, sure, yeah, why not? But it was actually, like, very controversial, a lot of different opinions on it. Well, this update went back to the hybrid change, and essentially... what I took from the article is it's on hold for now. We're not making the change yet. They did. They listened to all the podcasts. They read all the social media. They even did a poll to try to get even more information. And it ended up almost exactly split down on the middle, where like half of people view it very positively. Half of people view it negatively or very negatively. And then the other chunk is like in the middle. But it split like directly down the middle. So Wizards basically said, we're going to wait and see. Like, we're not going to write this off completely, but based on the current mixed results that we've heard from the community, we're not going to make this change yet. So what do you think? Is hybrid dead? Like, is this rules change over with? Do you think it's going to happen eventually? What do you make out of this announcement that we're not shutting it down completely, but we're not doing it now?
I just feel like on slow weeks, this is just one of those things people dust off. It's like, I don't know, we need something to happen in the community. Bring back hybrid mana. All right. I don't know why we keep going back to this. I don't know why we even are here. Like, I don't think we need to change this rule. I think this rule is good as it is.
Oh, it's not over yet. I remember when I was researching a video, when I was researching the hybrid video, I found like an old Sheldon Mennery article. He used to be RC and like the spokesman for the RC and a commander. It was like 2015. And he was saying, like, I have frequent arguments with Mark Rosewater about hybrid in commander. And I'm like very steadfast no about it.
I don't get it.
Like, you don't mean like, not changing or changing, Phil?
Why would it be a mono-color card? It is.
Yeah.
It triggers Vivid. By the rules of Magic. Why?
Yeah, like,
I
kind of want to
play Mana Morphos in Pharaoh's Rock Rake or something.
It's better for the argument they posted, at least initially, with the last article, was like, in every other format, hybrid works this way, in that you could put it in a mono, like, if it's a, is it hybrid? A hybrid card is designed that it can go into a mono blue deck and a mono red deck. And only in Commander is it that you cannot put it in a mono blue deck or a mono red deck, and that is very strange. To which I would respond is, also, in Commander, it's the only format where you have a command zone. That's very strange. You know, it has the concept of color identity. That's very strange. You know, it's like, okay, I don't buy that argument. And the other argument was like the primary motivator based on the Drive to Work podcast by Mark Rosewater was, we're doing a lot of Universes Beyond these days. We want to make sure the characters, popular characters, show up from a IP that you like. And sometimes the colors don't really match. Like, let's say we make a Naya precon for Final Fantasy VII, and Sephiroth is one of the most popular characters, and he's a black character, and the fans know he's a black character. He can't be black in the Naya precon. So maybe if we change the hybrid rules and we can make him rack those.
It's kind of funny. I'm the only one, I think, on the podcast that is actually for it. And I actually, to me, it makes sense. And maybe it's like my 60 card brain where I just like played so much 60 card Magic. To me, when I see Kitchen Finks, I don't think, oh, it's Lesney. I think I am playing in mono white, I am playing in mono green, or whatever, Lutri. I'm playing mono blue, I'm playing mono red. Is someone used to playing those formats? To me, it is pretty intuitive that I could play in a mono color of either of those colors. Seth, and then I think the commander color identity rule is the weird part here to me, as someone who's usually played 60 card formats. So,
but
I'm
because
not,
60 card, you can't ultimate price a Kitchen Finks.
Yeah, so.
So therefore, it is not monocolor; it is multicolored, right?
But only, I mean, only during deck building. In deck building, it's monocolor, but in the actual game, it's not. That's literally the argument. You know, like, but why?
I think the problem I've always had with that argument, and we're not going to spend too long on this because we did a whole podcast on this a little while ago. But so it's been done to death. But I feel like that argument gets taken to the extreme when people are like, oh, but then I can Hydro Blast something in a deck that's not the color. I'm like, look at tokens. Look at, you're playing Urborg, a mono black land, in your mono white deck. Like, there's tons of weirdness in Commander that happens anyway. Yeah. So to me, I'm not like, oh, you can Hydro Blast a thing in a deck that's not its color. To me, that's not a deal breaker just because weird stuff happens in Commander anyway. But it'll be interesting. Here's the last thing I want to know from you you guys about this. 6 months from now, a year from now, since they made it very clear that we're going to revisit this in the future, like it's not over with, they're not shutting the door on it, do you think this change will go through in the next year, let's say? Do you think a year from now, do you think hybrid will change, or do you think it'll be how it is today?
They want to sell us hybrid Sephiroth, right?
Sephiroth, you need the hybrid Sephiroth.
Well, it's also that they said they're going to be using hybrid more liberally in future sets, and we've been seeing that a little bit more. Not so much in like Lorwyn Eclipse, but also we saw from whatever, like the early previews of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, because you know there was a big leak and we saw a lot of the rares and mythics, I think, at this point. There was a lot of hybrids. There were a lot of hybrids. Like, I think it was like the team up cards. And there was like a new Ninja Panharmonicon. Like, they're using it a lot.
Oh, you mean Splinter? Radical Splinter. Rat?
Rat.
Krim's already got all the names memorized.
Krim already knows all
of
them. Yes, Splinter Radical Rat.
How could you forget something called Radical Rat? I mean, that's just funny.
My brain revolted when I saw it in the Pixel Lands, okay? And I just thought it was a fever dream. But yeah, they're using it a lot more, and I do think that maybe by using it a lot more, then more people will be like, well, that's annoying that I can't put it in my XYZ, so maybe it will change over time naturally. I hope not, but like, if people want that, and that's like the vast majority, I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah. Let the people speak. Let them have their way. What do you think, Krim and Phil? What's your guess? A year from now, hybrid the same, or does it change by then?
They change it. Yeah. And I don't know why. But I guess now we know why, because they literally say that they want to sell cards. I was going to joke about it, and it's clearly the reason, but man, saying it is. Oh, man. The reveal of the method is nuts.
I don't think they will. At least, you know what? I can't tell if that's wishful thinking or not, but like, why though, right?
Sephiroth.
Maybe Sephiroth. As I think about it, because like if they decide that, you know, they want to sell, you know, Rakdos Sephiroth. Sephiroth, then I man, I hope they don't. I really hope they don't. But like, now as I think about it, like when you put like a dollar bill behind it, then it's like they might change it.
Yeah. I honestly don't think they will, just unless the community is on board, though, because I thought it was a done deal. I thought, like, this is a formality.
Yeah.
They already had a plan for Lorwyn Eclipse, and Wizards of the Coast clearly says, like, no, we're only going to change it if the community, like, the vast majority of the community wants something. And that filled me with a lot of hope. I was like, that is very good. And you know what? Like, if 80% of the people want this to change, I'll be like, okay, I'm the minority. I don't want this to change. But I think if the vast majority of people want something in the format, it should be that way. But, like, yeah, I was really glad that they're not just going to force it. They're actually going to listen to the community, which they are.
I also thought that too, that it was just kind of a done deal, and they were doing the Tomer poll when you used to do polls about what deck you wanted to write an article of, and then people would vote, and then you just choose the one that you wanted to do anyway.
That looks a little rough now, maybe, yeah. Tomer.
Back in the day.
I was just learning for the best.
So I give Wizards credit for that too. One last question, since we brought that up. What do you think that cutoff is? Because the numbers posted in the article, I believe, if you math it out, it's like 44% in favor and 39% against if you had together the stronglies with the not stronglies of each side. What do you think that threshold, like?
80-20.
So it needs to be, like, I think it needs heavily to be 80-20. In favor from the, like, so basically a huge agreement from the community that they should change.
Not half. How I would do it. Not like, definitely not like 30%, right? It needs to be heavily in favor of.
Have you seen these stats in the article? Like how evenly spread the agreement on this was? That was kind of nuts.
Very, very evenly spread. Yeah, I think it was 44-39 with like 19% undecided or like didn't care.
Hey, even if you split it in five groups, it's like 20% each.
The strong verse. Yeah, even that breaks down. Yeah, I think that it could definitely happen eventually, but it does give me hope that Wizards is actually listening to the community on this one. So I guess keep letting your feedback be known over the next couple years if you want to change or not, and we'll see what happens. But let's go on to one that I know is going to be controversial. I've been waiting for this one. We got to change to the Game Changer list, which isn't something I care about a ton because I don't really build around Game Changers too much. I just play what I want. But they added one card to the Game Changer list in Farewell. So if you don't know Farewell, I don't know how you do not know Farewell if you don't play Commander over the past couple of years, but it's a 6-mana sorcery. You get to choose one or more of exile all artifacts, creatures, enchantments, and or graveyards. So an expensive wrath, but a very hard wrath in the sense that everything is gone and it's gone forever since it's exiled. What do you guys make of this? We talked about it a little bit on the Goldfish podcast yesterday and got Richard's take, and Richard had some pretty good rants about this. He was very anti it. He was Crim pilled. It was, if you think of the argument Crim is about to make, Richard made the Crim argument, but before Crim got a chance to speak, he was very Crim pilled. Yeah. So Crim, what's the argument?
Richard, it was early in the morning and Richard sang the most beautiful song to me. I was serenaded by Richard. And I was just like, thank you, Richard. Exactly. Because it's true, dude. Like, it's not a power balance thing. It's just the sentiment behind it, right? Like, again, we're banning a sweeper, y'all. Austere Command Plus, this is what that is.
Game changer.
The main thing is it got upgraded, and that just shows that interaction is now just like an all-time high of just getting upgraded to Game Changer. Why not just Game Changer a Doomblade at this point, right? I don't understand why we, like, seriously, though. Like, why, though? Like, actually, why? What's wrong with this sweeper? Everything is indestructible in, like, 2026. Everything is, like, there's so many protection spells. There's so many things to get around a Farewell. This is a card that is needed. You know, this is the Dark Knight whole monologue thing that he does at the end of the movie. Farewell is the hero we need, but not the one we deserve, I guess, at this point. Because I think the way Magic cards are designed now, this is a card that's needed. Heck, I'd say we need a second iteration, a functional reprint of Farewell for redundancy in Commander.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
And then Richard also took it one step further with one of the hottest takes I've ever heard, that all commanders should be indestructible, uninteractable emblems rather than Game Changering Farewell, just make it impossible to kill your commander, and then everyone can just build around it and pop off however they want to I don't know if he was joking or not, but I don't know. He seemed pretty serious. Where are you guys at with Farewell? So Krim, obviously not a fan of Farewell becoming a game changer.
So
let's
soft.
Save you for last, Homer, because I know you actually voted on this or whatever. Phil, what about you? Are you in favor
first
of this?
All, I understand Krim. I understand Richard even in his emblem point, but I agree with none of them because I think maybe we don't need a reset button because the reset button is somebody wins and we start a new game. I think that's, please kill me or something, but don't make me just I'm building up so many cool things here and let's just let it end in a big crescendo and not like, oh, JK, let's start again. But except for me, because I kind of played it and put myself in a good position. So I kind of just want to start a new game, but I'm in the driver's seat now, which I guess is like the control player's dream. But maybe we just don't need this effect and just.
But hear me out. You are playing a game. You are playing a game, and now if you want to play single player, you know, there's tons of, like, roguelike games I can recommend, but we are playing Magic the Gathering, and Magic the Gathering.
So the problem with Farewell is it's like this everything sweep, and there's, I guess some things beat it, but then you just, and that's actually kind of fine. If somebody dodges it and they win the game next turn, that's good, because then the game ends, not because it reset. But because it added. So the good thing about Farewell is if somebody dodges it.
Yeah, but in the words of Tomer, the wise philosopher Tomer, that's a wizard battle, right? I did my thing to interact with you. And then you interact and you defended against my spell. That's a wizard battle. That's fun.
Okay, so one quick point, and then we're getting to you, Tomer. The one point I wanted to make, and I'm perfectly fine to make this a game changer. I'm actually in favor of making it a game changer. But the one point I want to make is, I think we have to think about this in the context of the bracket system. The card's not banned. We have to think about the bracket system. And I would imagine, why would you make a card a game changer? And that would be to restrict how often it shows up in lower bracket play, right? Because if you're playing higher brackets, it doesn't matter. If you're playing some bracket one, like, flavor deck that's already going to take 3 hours to win the game because your card sucks and you're playing a bunch of turtles something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think you necessarily want a card like Farewell that's the hardest reset we have available to show up in games like that. So I think from the bracket system perspective, I actually think it makes a lot of sense that a card like this would be a game changer. If you're playing bracket four, you're playing bracket three, then you play this and it's fine. If you're playing lower brackets, then it's probably not going to be one of your few game changers and the game's going to be better for it. But Tomer, you got to vote on this. What's your take?
I was against game changering until I listened to Phil and Seth. I'm actually for it now. So as the article says, just like, it's a hard reset, it makes the game go way, way longer. And I was like, okay, sure. But it's also, I feel like it's a very aggressively fair card because it's like 6-mana sorcery. And like, imagine 6-mana sorcery and it could wipe your own board in 2026. It better do the job. It better get the job done. Ooh, doggy. I'm babysitting a dog. So
No. I thought Tomer was just talking to the spell stutter sprite.
He doesn't want to pee his pup. He wants to bite his tail in the back.
Okay. Why is he calling that fairy a puppy?
I was against this, but like, it does make sense. Lower game tables, the games are going to go longer, and this is just like a hard reset on the game a lot of the times. And yeah, maybe it is bad to add an extra like hour or two to like an already 2+ hour game. So I could see it. I could see it in Game Changer. It's fine. You've actually convinced me. I would vote Game Changer on this one.
Wow. I will say.
I'm sorry, Krim.
In the power level that we play in Commander Clash, I actually don't think it's
it's fine.
Like, I find it annoying, but I think it's fine at that power level. So my argument would basically be, for the lower bracket games, I think it's actually a positive there. And if you play higher brackets, then no one cares because you can play whatever you want.
My Tetsun deck will no longer be Farewell. That's a plus.
No,
I changed
my mind. I don't want this to be a game changer. We need to get Tomer's artifact decks.
Artifact decks in general, except for my affinity deck.
That one's fine.
So those were the only changes that they actually made today. So Biorhythm unbanned, Lutri unbanned, banned his companion, Farewell on the game changer list. Obviously, Biorhythm also on the game changer list. Hybrid rule not happening yet. But there was a few other cards that they brought up that were apparently under discussion, and they want feedback on whether or not they should unban these cards. And these cards, on one hand, the actual cards kind of shocked me that they were cards that they were even having conversations about unbanning. But if the philosophy is, if you cost a lot of mana, you should be okay in Commander, I can kind of see what they're trying to do. So the three cards in specific that they asked for feedback on this time around were Grizzlebrand, a 8-mana, 4-black pip, 7/7 flying lifelinker that lets you pay 7 life, draw 7 cards as a legendary demon. Sundering Titan, an 8-mana, 7/10 golem artifact creature that when it enters or leaves the battlefield, you blow up a land of each land type. And then Iona Shield of Emeria, 9-mana, 7/7 flying legendary angel. When it enters, you choose the color. Nobody can, or your opponents cannot cast spells of the color that you choose. So these three cards, they're apparently thinking about unbanning, discussing unbanning, and they requested feedback from the community on whether these cards should come off the ban list and be on the game changer list. And I'm curious what you guys think. Are these more world fires and coalition victories and biorhythms where we're like, oh, they're really expensive, it'll be okay? Or is there something different that makes you feel like these cards maybe should stay banned in Commander?
Is Grizzlebrand the same as Worldfire, y'all? Right?
same thing.
Same card.
Like,
yes,
rain.
Same card. No. If we go down the list, I think Iona needs to stay on the ban list. I think that card definitely needs to stay on the ban list. And then on top of that, because I just imagine the average player will not be able to deal with Ionia. Ionia is a world in Riftbound. Okay, anyways, the main thing is Iona is just too strong, right? I think in most situations. I think Sundering Titan, I mean, the whole mass land destruction thing that's kind of already added into the bracket system does make me think that you could unban that card and put it as a game changer, because then it's not being seen unless it's, like, you know, in the higher brackets anyways. So that's fine if you take that one off. I do not think you, in any world, and I love demons and I love Grizzlebrand, in any world are you ever unbanning that card. I love Grizzlebrand. And it's because of how much I love Grizzlebrand, I also understand Grizzlebrand is not healthy for the game. You cannot put that there.
We played a no ban list game a season or two ago on Commander Clash where I had Grizzlebrand in my deck and I reanimated it. And I don't think I won the game, but I think I drew, I don't know, like 28 cards or something the turn that I played it and had this huge turn and ended up not being able to win. But still, and that really sold me on the idea that you can never unban. Like, we're playing Commander, you have 40 life, and the difference between these cards and coalition victories or world fires or these big spells is it's just so much easier and cheaper to cheat a creature into play. Like, we have cards like Reanimate and Entomb. So, yes, it's 9 mana, it's 10 mana, whatever huge number. That number doesn't matter if you can just get it in your graveyard and put it into play. And I think that's the problem with all three of these cards. I actually think the Crim's argument about Sundering Titan is pretty convincing to me that it's already, like, banned as mass land denial in the lower brackets. So maybe I could see an argument for that one. Iona, I actually didn't think should be banned when they did ban it. But the more I've talked to, like, Tomer about it and some other people about it, like, the play pattern of, like, one person being wrecked and the rest of the table being disincentivized to help them get out from under the Iona because you want your opponent to be wrecked, that actually makes sense to me. It's annoying that one person just kind of gets taken out of the game. And I already hate Commander games where someone dies early and you have to sit there for, like, an hour or two while the game finishes. Being locked under an Iona and still, like, drawing your card each turn but not really being able to do anything with it is probably even more brutal than just being dead and, like, being able to go get a drink or whatever. So I think all those really need to stay banned. But what do you think, Phil? Like, would you be on board with taking any of these off the ban list?
I was kind of almost fine with Grizzlebrand there for a second, but then I remembered, and no. Also, with Sundering Titan, if it was just an ETB, or especially ETB when cast, then it's fine.
Yeah.
The LTB is, oh no, that is abusing it in just the right way. It is.
Yeah. Conjurer's Closet.
It is the battlefield. Yeah, right? It's when it enters or leaves
or
the battlefield.
Yep. You blink away, my friend. Blink away.
An ephemerate, and it's just Oppression City.
Goblin Welder
so
decks.
Easy.
But
then, hear me out.
You bring it in, you sacrifice it to get something else. Maybe you're
portal
to Phyrexia.
But let me remind you, though, as you bring up all the blinking. Think about all the games we play with Seth and his blink decks and his shenanigans how they never end. We never die. We're just sitting there and we have the illusion
of choice.
Because
I don't have Sundering Titan, Krim. That's
exactly.
I don't have Sundering Titan.
He's not going to attack Sundering Titan. He needs to hold it back with blockers.
No. I just put my lands and blink my Muldrifters. I'm not going to kill you. You got to sit here and watch me draw these cards.
but in that situation, outside of Seth's unique case where he will just hold it back to block when we have nothing on board, we have no lands that I will concede at that point. I am beat. I am staring down a Sundering Titan blink loop. So if you're trying to blink Sundering Titan, thank God blink has a win con. Okay.
So Tomer, where are you at with these, and what did you vote on these? Were these cards that you voted on? What was your take, and how'd you vote?
So Iona and Sundering Titan I'm against, because like I just don't think they're very fun play patterns. Iona, it just punishes the person who's randomly playing monocolor, and that kind of sucks. And then, like, what can the monocolor player do? Like, okay, you can run, like, a couple colorless removal spells to get rid of Iona, but how are you drawing those cards when all your colored spells that draw cards are turned off, your tutors that are colored are turned off and stuff? So it's very unlikely that you can deal with Iona. And then your opponents are incentivized, like you said, to keep Iona around because one enemy is locked out. So it's just, I don't think it's very fun. Sundering Titan, I also don't think it's very fun, but I think it's also way more abusable because it's an artifact and a creature. So like all the reanimation nonsense works. Any artifact deck is going to have a field day looping this a billion times, blink decks and stuff. So I just don't think it's very fun. And I kind of get that it's like, oh, it's MLD, so it doesn't show up at the lower brackets. But, like, I have a kind of a problem with unbanning stuff just because bracket systems exist. Because I don't think it's fair to people who don't play with the bracket system. And then Gristlebrand is just like, so Iona and Sundering Titan, I don't think it's going to be popular. So even if they get unbanned, I don't think they're going to show up that much. But Gristlebrand is one of the, it's arguably, like, the most powerful reanimation target. Maybe not the most, but, like, top five. Most powerful reanimation target, very hard to interact with because once it's on the battlefield, you can't just like swords it. You'll just be like, in response, I draw 21 cards. I'm going to win this turn. GG. And it's not like Necro where you have to wait until your end step and you just get it immediately. And it's very popular. So it's going to show up a lot and it's going to be very salty. And it's like, why? So CDH players get another toy? And it's like, well, the ban list is for casual. And CDH, while leaves a lot of angry comments and stuff and says casuals are ruining Magic, I looked at the subreddit and it was toxic and awful. It's a very small minority. It's less than 1% of the Commander players are CDH. So I don't think it's like, oh, well, we should unban it for CDH and it'll be a game changer for everybody else. It's like, I don't think that's a good justification to unban things.
I think that's, yes, no, we should not be running Commander based on, like, as much as I love CDH players, and I'm glad that format exists, that's awesome, but you can't optimize your format around 1% of the community. That's just, like, that's a ridiculous way to run a format.
They're crazy.
Yeah, so I hope that doesn't, and I hope all of these, I think, stay banned, with Sundering Titan being the one I'd be closest to being on board with because of the bracket thing, although I think the play experience would still just probably not be enjoyable. The other thing they brought up is there were two cards they asked us about like 3 months ago, kind of the same thing. Should we ban these cards? And those cards were Thassa's Oracle and Rhystic Study. And the article today basically said, we haven't seen anything close to enough volume indicating that these cards should go. Thoracle, apparently CDH players love it. I could care less. Like, if CDH players like it, keep it. I would think it would be a negative for CDH, because it's funny, as someone who doesn't play CDH, I view it as a negative for CDH, because whenever I think of CDH, I think, oh, you just build a deck and then it's trying to do a Thoracle loop no matter what your commander is. That seems kind of boring, right? That every deck's trying to win the same way. That's like my not CDH player perception of CDH because of Thoracle. But if people playing the format enjoy it, keep it. And then Rhystic Study, I think a lot of people thought this one was going. This was a big topic in the community. Are you guys surprised that Rhystic Study survived like this community feedback period where if people really want this card gone, like, I guess we didn't make enough noise to get it out of there. What do you think about these two staying off the ban list?
I know that this is never going to happen, and they're not in the same weight because one was printed in the ground, but I think if Sol Ring can be the face of Commander and kind of been grandfathered in, regardless of how strong it is, I think Rhystic Study is equally there. I think when I think of Commander, that was the main draw, right? Like, you know, like seeing Rhystic in Commander, ooh, that was sweet, right? And that is Commander to me. So it's just the blue face card for Commander, in my opinion. So if you can grandfather in cards like Sol Ring and stuff like that, I think Rhystic, I mean, it could use more reprints because it's very expensive, but like that's just
reprint it at Common again.
Go back
to the common in the beginning.
Don't care how it gets done, just do it.
That would kind of be fine, right? Like, it is, it's not good in limited.
It might be Tomer's worst nightmare, though.
No, it's not good in 60 comments, period. Yeah, or limited.
Tomer's worst nightmare would be now that everyone and their grandma has a Rhystic Study.
Okay, so that's actually my nightmare as well.
I have a stat for you. I'm looking at this EDH Rec Salt score. I'm looking for Sol Ring, and I find it at 1.46. I had to click on load more a couple times, but I found it. It's in between Invasion Plans.
Okay.
Pact of Negation. We'll find it. Let's look at where Rhystic Study is. 1, 2, 3, 4. It's sixth place. It's in the top 10. Top 6.
Nah,
2.73.
Nah. After seeing Farewell moved up to a game changer, soft. And this is proof. Rhystic, soft.
For Sol. I think Sol Ring is a net negative. But to me, the whole point of a ban list is to get rid of things that the vast majority of people don't like playing against and will actually play against it on a regular basis, which means like high salt and ubiquitous, which means it's just very popular. Sol Ring, I think, should get banned. But if the vast majority of people think it's fine, I don't think I should. I think it's a net negative for the format. But should it be banned just because I don't like it? Probably not. I mean, it should, because obviously. But like Rhystic Study cannot have the same argument. It's very, very, it's one of the most popular cards in the entire format. And it's also one of the most salt inducing. At the very least, make a survey and see if 80% of people agree. If it's like 50-50, I rest my case. I'll shut up about it. But if it's like 80% say yes, come on, just do it. Just pull the
plug. How much of it though is a meme, like, you know, like a loop of a, like, you know, kind of like we joke about it as a community.
Let's meme it into the ban list then.
Amount of memes, but I think it is like also a card that legitimately makes people salty. Like, I don't think the salt score ranking is a meme. Like, I think there are memes about, like, do you pay the one, obviously, and it's become a meme in that sense. So, but I think I would have to take it seriously. I'm curious, how do they, like, what, when they ask us this, what are they looking for from us? If I have strong feelings about a card, like, you have this really high salt score for both of these cards, honestly, and then the article makes it sound like, I don't know, we need to see some serious signs and public opinion change before going after these cards. You know, how do we give this feedback? If I'm someone that feels very strongly the Rhystic Study should be banned or shouldn't be banned, how do I get that message to Wizards? Like,
make more videos about it.
A non-me person that doesn't have a YouTube channel that people watch? Like, if you're just a player who really hates Rhystic Study,
keep commenting, I guess.
Just comment on Wizards posts and videos and stuff. I wish there was more of, like, when they ask these questions, I wish there was more of an official, like you said, Tomer, like a survey or something, some sort of official way to, like, give feedback on them, maybe. Like, maybe that would be beneficial moving forward.
There was for Hybrid. I mean, they could have just done the same thing for Thassa's Oracle and Rhystic Study, right? Like, that could have been pretty easy to do, I imagine.
Yeah, it seems like.
And I saw a lot of chatter about it. Maybe, again, anecdotal evidence, but, like, as soon as, like, if you go on Reddit and you look at, like, the ban speculation and stuff, as soon as it got announced, Rhystic Study was, like, one of the top things being talked about. When I opened up Instagram, all the Magic content is, like, memeing about Rhystic Study. I don't know how much more it has to be. Maybe Wizards of the Coast was not seeing the same feeds as me. But I
wonder, too. I think they announced this at the same time as the Hybrid change. And I remember, Everyone did videos and podcasts about the hybrid thing. We did it. Everyone else did it. I wonder if that overshadowed the feedback and people just focus on the hybrid thing rather than these potential bannings or unbannings. But one last question before we wrap things up. And this could probably be a whole podcast in and of itself, but we're not going to let that happen because we're getting near the end of the podcast. But when you add this together, so you add together them asking for feedback on Grizzlebrand and Iona and on Sundering Titan, on them not banning Rhystic Study and Thassa's Oracle, what's the philosophy of the ban list these days? Like, what is going on with this ban list? Like, it seems like they're unbanning stuff and trusting the Game Changer list is going to take care of it. Like, is that a wise move to trust that the Game Changer list is going to be able to just, like, carry unbanning some of these very scary cards? What do you guys think? Like, what is the current ban list philosophy? I feel like it was more well-known with the old RC. Like, I felt like there was a consistent philosophy that I kind of knew what it was. I didn't agree with the philosophy, but I felt like I kind of had an idea of what they were trying to do with the ban list. I'm not really sure in the Game Changer era what the goal is. My guess is it's just to unban as much as possible and trust that the Game Changer list is going to be kind of the new ban list or the replacement for the ban list. But what do you guys think? What's the philosophy these days? And is it wise to lean so hard on the Game Changer list?
I mean, I think you nailed it on the head. There is no official ban list criteria right now, and I think there should be one. The last RC was mostly about, like, if it's a salty card and it's ubiquitous, then we're probably going to ban it. But they also had, like, a bunch of stuff that I also didn't really agree with, like signpost yes. bans, which I wasn't really a fan of. And they also banned stuff based on price when they initially got popular, so that's why they got rid of, like, the power 8, because Time Twister was okay.
Dodge somehow. Yeah.
They had a bunch of different criterias, but, like, the main one was, like, if people don't like it and it's very popular, we'll probably get rid of it. And I like that one. Now what the criteria is, I have no idea. And I do think it's based on the bracket system. I think the idea is, like, the brackets, like, we can basically unban anything. And the bracket system will take care of it. Like, if you don't want to play against these cards, then just play bracket 1 and 2. Otherwise, you're limited on bracket 3. And then 4 and 5 have at it. And personally, I think that's a bad thing unless we see, like, a widespread adoption of brackets. And I'm someone who uses brackets on all my games. All my decks adhere to brackets. I love the bracket system. But I do acknowledge that a lot of people don't use the bracket system. And I don't know how many people have adopted the bracket system. I don't have that data. So, like, unless you could tell me, like, oh, yeah, basically everybody uses the bracket system, I don't like the idea that ban lists can be just like, oh, you just can unban anything because you'll just bracket it. And I'll be like, well, what if people aren't using Game Changers and stuff? I don't know. Well, Let me know, Watsi, what the surveys are saying.
I'm curious, Phil, you have a Commander play group you go to every week. Do you guys do the bracket system? Like, is that part of your games, or do you just play whatever you want?
They just play humility. Who's going to stop them to play the disgusting? And I have no chill at times. We try to keep it mellow, but once somebody starts to get out a nasty deck, I just say, whatever. I play Omnath and you do whatever.
Is it a group of fills? Like, is it like everybody's bringing out, like, the Marnius Kalgars
worse.
And stuff?
It's
and
like, it's just like, haha, I play humility. Isn't that funny?
Oh, that's great.
Oh, that's how I used to play Commander when I first started.
Oh, wow. Oh, I'm excited.
Oh, they don't. No. It's not like they're starting. It is. They've been playing for a very long time, very expensive decks, but they kind of. Some of them. So it's gotten. So the last times I played, it's gotten better, but maybe my decks also got stronger over time, and I kind of just accept some cards. I'm still going to bitch about the humility, though. That one's not fine. And that's kind of my problem with this.
Oh, yeah.
So if we say everything is, instead of banned, a game changer, then we kind of put them all on the same level. And then you can decide in your, I don't know how many game changers you can play. One, there's like this bracket where you can play a number of game changers. Mm-hmm. I should probably know this. Like bracket 3 can play 3 game changers or something. And then, yeah, my game changers are 3 of the crazy banned cards instead of, I don't know, Orcish Bowmasters or something that is fine but strong. And then maybe you need to have super game changers that are only okay in bracket 4, then that would be
super game changers.
Well, you could also make mega game changer count, right? In bracket 3, if there's so many more game changers, then surely we should have more than 3 game changers. Maybe we should make it 5 and then like 6 and more. And
yeah, I don't know. It's like it kind of muddies the water again. I'm usually against the banned lists because it's so hard to enforce or like to explain this card is banned and this card is not. Am I kind of changing my mind on this? I'm not sure. It's kind of healthy. So seeing the bans of Darkseid and Lotos, thanks for not unbanning these, by the way, Tom. I don't know if you've been responsible or if you talked about this. This one, the Crypt Darkseid Lotos ban, that kind of fixed all my problems with saying like, well, if these are illegal, why would this be blah, blah, blah. I guess the souring argument still holds up somehow, but so I just play bracket 3 and it's all good. And maybe I just want this to be as it is and not mess with it too much. So I don't want to say no ban list. Criteria for the ban list, I don't know. They ban stuff and unban stuff. Biorhythm unban seems fine. Yeah, this makes sense.
That is the philosophy. I mean, if there is a philosophy, I can see it's unban everything that costs more than like 7 mana or something. Or check to see if we can unban anything that costs more than like 7 mana. Like, put it out there and see if that's possible. What do you think?
Iona makes sense, though. Iona has a very good argument that is like the play style sucks if you don't want to help the person that gets wrecked. Yeah.
Just don't play monocolor for it.
Monocolor. Add monocolor to the ban list.
All his dust would just become a staple, right? At that point, like all his dust is a must.
You need Iona on ban to power down hybrid.
Flesh and Sunray Titan.
And then you do
run more. Flesh is still banned, right?
Just print the must need answering of hybrid mana threats.
So
unban Emrakul, and then you can annihilate Iona.
Yeah, there you go. It's colorless too, so it doesn't care about Iona.
It's fine.
Krim, what do you think? You have any ideas on the ban list philosophy, or like, what about your games outside of Magic Cons? How widely adopted are bracket games for who you play with?
Actually, this has been pretty good. I think my play group has heavily adopted brackets. And then on top of that, the bracket system has been wonderful for pickup games. I've been going out to my LGS and just playing rando games and just because, you know, it's fun to just see how this all plays out. Right. And we've all been really enjoying the bracket system. It's helped a lot with Magic Con, though, even though I know we're talking about non-Magic Con games.
Yep.
And then my whole friend group, it's just kind of. I've also had to drive the point home, though, just in general or for those around me, that bracket system does not mean that, like, you can't build a bracket 1 or 2 deck that can beat a bracket 3, right? Like, it is definitely not a power level system. This is a intent behind your deck, right? It's going to help put the rails on your game here. And because of that, it's helped a lot. I mean, we've had a lot of fun. We don't, like, you know, we have exactly as many game chairs as we need to, you know, do whatever. It's just been a fun time in my playgroup. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't think about brackets too much when I'm building decks. So when I see like the farewell change, I'm just kind of like, all right, whatever. Like, whatever. But I know if you play with brackets all the time and you play farewell all the time, then that's a pretty big change to you if you only have, you know, 3 slots for your game changer. Yep. And now you got to think, oh, wow, like I'm going to have to take farewell out of a lot of decks because I already have 3. I'm going to have to take another game changer out of a lot of decks. So, yeah, I think it has a bigger impact there as well.
I think it's going to be huge, definitely, in our playgroup because of that. Right, because we do play pretty heavily with brackets, right? We are locked in on that.
Yeah,
yeah. So that's up for you, on my bracket 2s to take it out.
I mean, the good news is it seems like a pretty easy card to replace, right? You can toss in a Steward Unite or toss in like there's plenty of options. But what are you saying, Phil?
My Omnath deck has 4 game changers now.
Bracket 4, bracket 4, bracket 4.
Farewell.
Bracket 4.
So you're not a CDH player, Phil. How is it to be a CDH player? How's the CDH community? So anyway, I think that's all the topics we had for today. Did I miss anything? Is there anything else anyone wants to get in before we wrap up our discussion for today?
Sorry.
I don't know. I was really happy. So soft. I don't know. I really liked how at least the update was done. Like, the reasoning is out there. It's very transparent. And I'm like particularly happy with just how Gavin handles everything too. It gives me a lot of hope. I was so pessimistic when I heard like the hybrid proposal. I was like, oh yeah, for sure. It's gonna go through. This is just a formality. And it's like, no. We're gonna do surveys. We're gonna hope we're gonna see if the majority wants it and they're gonna do it. And then if they do a ban or like also they give heads up, you know, they give heads up on cards we're focusing on and stuff like that. I don't know. I think that's very good. So I think it's being run well, and I was very skeptic when I was going in. So I'm happy about that.
Out of everyone at WotC, Gavin is easily the person I trust most with stuff like this. When it comes to this type of stuff, Gavin is just so good at it. You see with Pauper, too. Yeah. Like, same way with all the Pauper updates. Like, it's just, I'm very glad that Gavin's kind of, like, spearheading the Commander stuff. I think that's a good thing for everyone who cares about Commander. But
Gavin spearheading anything is a good sign. I like that.
Definitely a positive. Anyway, I think that's our podcast for today. So you've heard all the news. What do you think about all this stuff? What do you think about the unbannings, Abiorhythm, and Looptree? What do you think about Farewell as a Game Changer? What about the cards they asked for your feedback on, the Grizzlebrands and Ionis? Let us know what you're thinking in the comments. Thanks for watching, everyone, and we'll be back next week to talk some more Commander. So until then, have a great week, and this is the crew signing out.